This is the Mr. Wheelwide Podcast, where we discuss everything car related, sales, service, the news, business, and more. Thank you for joining me. Buckle up and shift into gear because it's time to roll out. Hola, amigos. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Mr. Wheelwide Podcast. It is my pleasure to have really anyone listen to this. I know that it's kind of strange to record myself talking and post it to the internet, but if you are listening to this, I want to sincerely thank you and appreciate the time it takes to listen to my ramblings on a podcast here. So without further ado, now that you're buckled in and in gear, we're going to start rolling out. This week's episode is going to be a little bit different. We're not going to cover the news, but we're going to talk about something in automotive history. One of my personal idols and favorite business owners and entrepreneurs, none other than Mr. Henry Ford, the founder of the Ford Motor Company. So let's go ahead and get started. Henry Ford built his first experimental car in 1896 in his garage in Michigan. The Ford Motor Company was founded in 1903, and the first car was assembled at the factory that same year. The company was founded by Henry Ford and 11 associates of his. The Ford Motor Company was later reincorporated in 1919. The company's shareholders were primarily the Ford family, and they formed the Ford Foundation in 1936 and were the sole stockholders until the company was publicly traded in 1956. The infamous Model T, which was available in any color you wanted, as long as it was black, was introduced in 1908. Demand for the Model T was so great that Ford had to develop a new way of manufacturing automobiles. In 1913, Ford introduced the world's first moving automotive assembly line. And in 1914, to help keep up with that demand, the Ford Motor Company introduced the $5 daily wage for an 8-hour day, when the norm was only $2.34 for a 9-hour day. By 1914, only a year later, there were 500,000 Model Ts on the road. And by 1920, Ford Motor Company had expanded to 20 assembly plants around the world, in the Americas, including Canada, the U.S. and Central and South America, Europe, Asia, South Africa, and Australia. To say that Henry Ford was successful and ambitious is putting it lightly. In 1922, Ford acquired the Lincoln Motor Company, producing luxury cars and the now infamous Lincoln Continental. By the way, the car in the Matrix, the black murdered out car with the suicide doors, that's a 1964 Lincoln Continental. So, very famous car. In 1927, Ford began phasing out the Model T and introduced the Model A, followed by the Ford V8 in 1932. In 1938, Ford introduced the Mercury line of cars, filling the space between Ford Motor Cars and the luxurious Lincoln Motor Company. Henry Ford realized that there was a gap between his entry-level Ford Motor Cars, which his employees were able to afford, and the luxurious Lincoln cars, which primarily wealthy people purchased. He needed to find something in between that the average American could buy that was slightly above an entry-level Ford, but not as expensive as a Lincoln luxury car. In 1947, in April, Henry Ford passed away, leaving the company to his family, his children, and his heirs. Now, I would love to expand on that first part of the history of Ford Motor Company, but I think that's where we're going to leave it at for now. Just in this first part of the history of Ford Motor Company, we can see how much the company expanded and grew in such a short time. This isn't putting lightly the amount of effort and work that it takes to start a company, grow it, hire people, introduce these processes, and implement them to expand to 20 facilities worldwide and create 3 different product lines. Ford was known for his tenacity. He was also a Freemason, which isn't known by very many people. The Ford Motor Company history, I think, will continue in either next week's episode or a following episode in the next couple of weeks. So be sure to stay tuned for that. With that said, I think it's time that we go ahead and take a break. So go ahead and shift back into park, and I'll catch you guys on the other side of the break. Alrighty, welcome back everyone. Thank you for joining me again. I can't express how grateful I am that I see more than zero plays on this podcast. It means a ton to me. If you haven't already done so, be sure to subscribe to my podcast. It's currently available on Anchor FM, which is an app you can download. It's available on Spotify. I know, I'm just as shocked as you are. On iTunes and even on Breaker. So be sure to subscribe to keep up with all of my nonsense and crazy ramblings about cars, history, and buying and selling and fixing them. So if you haven't noticed by now, I do sound a little nasally, and I apologize for the sound quality and how annoying my voice is. It's been very hot and dry in California, in Northern California and Southern California. So a little bit of the pollens has gotten into my sinuses here. So I sound a bit more nasally than normal. Now, this is another episode in our car buying mini-series. In the first couple of episodes, we talked about money and what it takes to buy a new car, if you are so inclined, or, you know, if you want to buy a used car, you can use those same principles as well. In the last episode, we talked about what to do with your old hoopty, whether you're going to keep it, sell it private party, or trade it in. In this week's episode, we are going to talk about actually selling or trading in your car and how to get the most value out of that old hoopty. So you can also get some of that information on my blog. So if you haven't done so, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. Visit my website, MrWillWide415.weebly.com, and check out my social media, MrWillWide415 on Instagram. I share tons of funny memes. I share cool pictures of stuff that I'm working on. Currently, we have a GMC Sierra 1500 that we are working on for a good friend of mine. She needed to buy a truck. She didn't have a whole bunch of money, so she decided to go out and check something out on Facebook Marketplace. She asked me some questions about cars that she found while I was away from work in Los Angeles. She was up here in the Bay Area, Northern California. And she would just send me a couple of links and say, hey, what do you think of this car? What do you think of this car? What do you think of this car? So be sure to follow me on Instagram to keep up with the little GMC Sierra 1500. And you'll kind of see how we go about making it safe and reliable for her. So, with all of that said, let's go ahead and talk about how to sell your old hoopty. Now, there are some things that we do to a used car, regardless of whether you are trading it in or selling it private party, in order to maximize the amount that you get back for it. Right, someone that owns a car, you want to try to keep as much of that value in your pocket to help you with either buying a brand new car or a used car. So we're going to go over some of those tips. I go over some of those tips on my Instagram from time to time and in my blog, but I figured I will go over it in this podcast as well, just because, you know, we're kicking around the idea of selling your car and we're talking shop on this podcast. So without further ado, here are the meat and potatoes. So, tip number one to sell your used car, clean it. I can't emphasize how easy and simple it is to increase the value of your old bucket significantly just by washing it and emptying it out, going through it with the vacuum, and showing it in that fashion. I can't count how many times I've gone to look at used cars with friends, and the car is disgusting. It's been sitting under a tree. It's covered in leaves and dirt and dust and bird poop. You think, okay, cool. The outside is dirty. Whatever. I'll open the inside and maybe the inside is clean. The people are still living in these cars sometimes. You know, they're filled with Rockstar cans and Burger King bags and candy wrappers and all kinds of paperwork in the doors and in the glove box. It's disgusting. A dirty, unsightly car is perceived as being neglected by potential buyers. So one of the easiest and cheapest things you can do to help sell your car easier and for more money is to simply run it through the wash, empty it out, and vacuum it. Okay? Super easy. A car wash is normally $5 to $6 if you go through a drive-through wash. Some places even offer a free vacuum, and it doesn't cost you anything to get a garbage bag and take your stuff out of the car. Have your car ready to go. That means empty of your stuff, empty of your paperwork, so that the potential buyer that sees your car says, hey, this person is serious about selling their car. It's ready to rock and roll. I got cash. They got their car. Let's make a deal. Tip the second, numero dos. Take lots of good pictures of your car from all kinds of angles. Driver's side, passenger side, front, back. If it's a tall truck or an SUV, the roof. Believe it or not, I've gone to check out cars where you walk around and you're short and it looks pristine. It's gorgeous. Then you get on the on the rocker panels or on the side steps and you look at the roof and the paint's missing. Or it's rusted, or worse, it even has holes and rust bubbles because the car was not maintained properly. The paint wasn't maintained properly. So be sure to take lots of good pictures of your car through the entire time that you own it. Be proud of your car. Show your baby off. People want to see the entire car before they show up to buy your car if you're selling it private party. This doesn't matter so much if you're trading the car in because the dealer will do a thorough inspection of the car to make sure that you're not trying to pull a fast one, right? The last thing the dealer wants to do is buy your old clapped out hoopty and figure out that you've got, rust in the rocker panels and around the window trim. You know, you don't want to get Chevy-itis around the back window and try to trade in a rusty car. Alrighty. Tip numero tres, number three. When you go to sell your used car private party, you need to advertise it. Now, you gotta have a little bit of marketing skill and you gotta be comfortable writing out a description of what your car is, what it has, and all the features it comes with. People want to know as much about your car before they reach out to you. More details are better. Tell them everything about your car. They wanna know the year, make, model, the mileage. They want to know what you've done to the car maintenance-wise. So if you've done an oil change within the last week, mention that. If you did a clutch within the last 10,000 miles, put it in your ad. If you've got a really nice set of HRE forged alloy rims on the car, put it in the advertisement. More details are better. Don't try to be a shady car seller and neglect to mention the fact that the car has bald tires, or it's puking a bunch of oil, or it's got the check engine light. If you are upfront and honest about that stuff in your advertisement, even if the car has issues, people will appreciate that more, and they are more inclined to come and test drive your car and make an offer on the car. So make sure that when you advertise it, you give as much information as possible. You don't want to have to answer the same question 100 times because you forgot to put something in the ad, right? If you forget to put the mileage in the ad, you don't want to have to answer that question 100 times. Hey, how many miles are on the car? How many miles are on the car? So make sure you put that in your ad. Okay, tip number four. Answer your phone and respond to potential customers in a timely fashion. It drives me bananas when I see a cool car that I want to go check out and I call, text, or email the seller of the car and they never get back to me. It drives me bonkers. It will drive away people with cash in hand ready to buy your car if you don't pick up the phone, you don't respond to texts or messages, and you don't respond to emails. These people are interested in your car. Even if they're just asking you, hey, what color is the interior? Hey, did you ever smoke in the car? Hey, when was the last service that you did? Answer them. It may not lead to a sale every single time, but you get used to that fact. And this is why selling your car private party takes the most effort. You're going to get lots of messages. You're going to get lots of calls. You're going to get all kinds of goofy questions and dumb offers sometimes. But it is in your best interest to sell the car and get that experience of answering your phone and responding to customers and overcoming objections. Okay, so answer your phone, respond to those messages. Don't be the guy that responds a week later and says, "Hey, I just saw your message. Are you still interested? No, sorry, I bought another car." And now, speaking of responding a week later, tip number 5, something I learned selling cars at the dealership: follow up, follow up, follow up. Okay, if somebody texts you and says, "Hey, I'm looking at 2 or 3 cars today. Can I come check yours out this afternoon?" Yeah, sure. Great. I'm at work. Come after 5:30. Follow up with that potential buyer. At 4 o'clock, say, "Hey, I'm getting off of work at 5. Are you still interested in coming down?" If somebody comes to look at your car and they test drive it and they give you an objection, "Hey, you know, I don't have the cash on me. I just wanted to see the car. Hey, you know, I want to show this car to my wife before I commit to spending, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. Let me go talk to her and then we'll come back." Follow up with those people. Even if you sell the car, follow up with potential customers that were interested and weren't able to make a deal then or wanted to come back. Follow-up is crucial when you sell cars at a dealership. You wouldn't believe the number of people that came to look at a car, left. You call them a day or two later and say, "Hey, Mr. Customer, you came on my lot. You test drove my, you know, brand new Mustang GT. I just wanted to follow up and make sure that I answered all of your questions, provided the information you needed, and gave you a good experience. And I wanted to see if you and your partner or spouse had some time to come back and maybe take a look at the car again or look at some financials, some numbers." I can't count on the number of times how many cars I was able to sell that way. Even my own personal cars, where a customer said, "Oh my gosh, you know what? I totally forgot that I saw that car because I looked at 3 or 4 cars in the week and I really liked yours. Thank you for following up. Let me go ahead and speak to my partner or my spouse and we'll come back Saturday because I'm ready to buy your car." Follow up, follow up, follow up. That is the key. Tip numero 6, number 6, have all of your documents ready. Your pink slip, you know, we'll call it the pink slip. That's your title. It shows proof of ownership. Even if you don't own the car and you have a lien on the car because you have a loan on it, have that document ready. If you're in California and you have a smog inspection, have that document ready that your car passed the smog. If you're an inspection, state where you don't do a smog, but you do a safety inspection for rust and brakes and suspension and lights, have that ready to prove that you passed the inspection and your car is safe to be operated on public roads. Have your registration in the glove box or in a manila folder with all of your other paper to prove that your car is registered, the tags are up to date, and you didn't just steal some license plates off the street. And lastly, this is golden when it comes to documentation. Have your maintenance records and receipts ready to show customers what kind of service work you did to the car. People want to know, when was the last time you changed the oil, the brakes, the tires, a tune-up? All this stuff is extremely valuable to a potential customer because they want to make sure that they're not buying some clapped-out piece of junk that's on its way to the junkyard. Okay, so have all your documents and paperwork in order, ready, so that if somebody comes with cash in hand, you're ready to sign on the dotted line and sell your car and take their cash or cashier's check or electronic transfer. I can't tell you how many times I went to go look at a car and the people say, "You know what? I didn't know you were serious. I didn't have the pink slip ready." Or, you know, you see expired tags and they tell you they paid the registration, "But I don't have that paperwork ready." So have all your paperwork in order and ready to rock and roll. Like I say, buckle up and shift into gear, because if a customer wants to buy your car, you got to be ready to roll out, guys. All right? Tip number 7, have a meetup spot ready to show your car. It's sketchy out there, guys and gals. Okay, my gearheads, You don't want to be meeting up with some rando in a dark parking lot that's got no lighting and it's in some industrial part of town. Know your neighborhood, know your town, know your city. Have a meetup spot ready that's got plenty of lighting, lots of foot traffic, and possibly even security cameras for your safety and the benefit of your car. If at all possible, meet up in front of a 24-hour gas station or Walgreens or even better, the police station. Meet someone at the police station. There's police right there. They can help you if something happens. God willing, nothing happens, knock on wood. But you will be better prepared and more comfortable to meet someone in an area where there are a lot of witnesses should anything happen. Now, personally, I've never had anything go awry, but of course, you want to make sure that you are prepared for anything. So have a meetup spot ready where the customer can open the doors, look at the car, pop the hood, have a test drive route planned. You want to be able to let this person test drive the car on city streets and potentially on the highway. When you meet the person, make sure that you check their driver's license. You'd be surprised how many people show up with either no driver's license or a suspended license or an expired license wanting to drive your car. That is a big no-no. It's a huge liability, and you don't want to get caught in a situation where somebody that isn't licensed to drive wrecks your car on a public street. Your insurance might not even cover you. So be sure to check that person's driver's license and let them know that, hey, you're driving my car and I want to make sure that you're fully legit to drive my car. Last but not least, tip number 8. If you've gotten this far with selling your car to a private party, have a backup plan to get home. If your meetup spot is a mile down the road, you want to let your friend or roommate or partner or spouse know, hey, I'm going to go sell this car. Can you come with me? Can you follow me to this spot just in case I do sell it and I can get a ride home? You want to have a plan to get home to make sure that you're not walking down the street late at night with, you know, thousands of dollars in cash in your pocket. So be sure to have a backup plan ready when you sell your car. Now, a lot of these tips transfer over to trading in your car. So we're going to go ahead and review. Clean your car, empty it out, make sure it looks good. The dealership is going to notice that kind of stuff. Tip number 3 doesn't matter. Tip number 2 doesn't matter if you're trading it in. Tip number 6 does matter. Have all of your documentation ready, your pink slip, registration, maintenance records. The dealership is in business to make profit from reselling your car. So the more evidence that you can show to the dealership that your car doesn't need that much work, the more trade-in value you have. Okay, and then tip number 8, have a backup plan. If you buy a car from a dealership, that's your backup plan. So with all of that said, guys, if you've gotten through the entire list, congrats. You've sold your car. Hopefully you made some money on it or you lost as minimal amount of money as possible, and you've learned from the experience. Selling a car is... it's a very rewarding feeling. You know, the fact that you were able to get the car ready, get your paperwork ready, you met a friend, hopefully you met someone that you had a good time with and they like your car as much as you do and they'll love it and take care of it. And then the fact that you were able to put cash in your pocket and make a couple of dollars compared to trading it in to the dealer is something that is, you know, definitely exciting to me. I love making deals when it comes to buying and selling cars. So, guys, again, thank you for listening to this part of the new car miniseries. Again, if you haven't done so, please subscribe to my podcast, check out my website, check out my blog, and follow me on Instagram. Until then, guys, I will see you next time. Later.